Some of the games I remember from being a kid, we had some, we had a lot of friends that lived kind of on the outskirts of town, and they had a lot of space and a lot of land. So we would play like nighttime games of Capture the Flag and Kick the Can. Anybody familiar with Kick the Can also? These are great games. Yard games, you just run around, it'd be dark out, everybody'd come dressed in all black. And like the parents of all these kids knew we were doing this, so they were all like fine with it. And we're outside running through the woods and everything. It was pretty fun. But those nighttime games. I also remember one game that I think kids kind of still do sometimes, and it probably wasn't my favorite, but it plays a role today. It was Follow the Leader. Anybody ever play Follow the Leader as a kid? So somebody obviously is either walking around or saying something or doing something, and you do what the leader tells you to do. You follow the leader. I bring that one up today because today Jesus talks about the leaders we follow. We are in the Sermon on the Mount, for those of you new with us. Only 2 weeks to go this week, and then in 2 weeks we will finish it up. We'll take the break next week with our guest speakers. But Jesus is kind of ending with these cautions or these things to watch out for. And today he actually cautions us about the leaders we follow. So he gives us a caution about following leaders. So what I want you to think about today and take from today is that you should follow the leader who faithfully follows God. Follow the leader who faithfully follows God. And that's what we're going to get at today from what Jesus says. We'll be in Matthew 7. It'll be verses 15 through 20 today. So if you see that in your Bible, you will see, again, we are close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Just a couple weeks left. But let's look at Matthew 7, 15 through 20. It will be right up here behind me. You can also follow along with the Bibles on your table. If you're using your own, I will be in the NIV translation. We are going to read the whole thing, and then we will break it down. So let's start Matthew 7, starting with verse 15. It says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." All right, a couple things as we get started with this passage. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Today we're going to take that to mean teachers, leaders, or people that are coming to you, trying to teach you about God or claiming to be from God. Because I very much believe Christian leadership is a calling and that we need Christian leaders out there. Hebrews has a couple examples to kind of drive that home, and I want to bring these up before we dive into this passage. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." A little farther, Hebrews 13:17, "Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." I bring those two up just really quickly to say, I do believe we need Christian leaders. We need good, solid Christian leaders. The Bible tells us that. Unfortunately, not great Christian leaders exist, and that's what Jesus cautions us on today. The first part of this passage, just verse 15 is the first part we'll look at, which says, watch out for false prophets. False Christian leaders exist. I wish they didn't. I wish this passage didn't need to exist, but it does. It's another reality that Jesus brings up. We talked about some realities last week about following one road or the other and where that leads us. It's a reality. And this isn't, it's not new to us today, obviously, because Jesus is talking about it. It was even a thing back in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 6:13 says, "From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit." So this has been a thing for a while, unfortunately, again, but it's a thing. Jesus starts this by saying, watch out. This is in Greek. It's the same wording that Jesus used when he said to watch out or be careful about the hypocrites. If we remember earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked a lot about the hypocrites and how they would do things just to be seen and kind of show off what they were doing. This is the same type of warning Jesus is given. So he's saying, be on guard. And what he's saying to you about and saying to them, and in turn to us, about these false teachers, false leaders, is that they come to you. They will show up. They come from where they are, and they will be there. And they will come in sheep's clothing. meaning they might look like you, talk like you, seem like you. They may even appear to be part of God's flock, if you will. Sheep and shepherds is a lot of the imagery that's used in the Bible. We are considered God's sheep, with Jesus being the great shepherd or our shepherd. So he's saying they're going to come like sheep and look like sheep to be a part of it. But inside, here's where the problem comes. Inside, they are not for God. They are like ferocious wolves. And in Jesus' day, wolves were known to be a vicious predator of sheep. So that they're there and it hurts. So by dressing like sheep, they're putting on an act. They're knowingly trying to deceive. And Jesus is even saying they might kind of pass that initial smell test, all right? They might show up and those first few interactions are going to seem great. At first look, they're going to seem really good or seem just like you or seem like what you need. But they aren't what they claim to be. As I was trying to draw a parallel to this, I was thinking about this week, as I was working actually on this sermon this week, I got something I was writing on my computer, and all of a sudden I get this blasting pop-up that comes onto my computer that says, your computer is now locked. You need to call Microsoft Security at this time. It's this robotic voice that pops up and is talking to me. I'd never heard this one before. Now, I've seen plenty of stupid pop-ups on the computer, but this one I never heard, and it's like it looks super legit. It looks just like Microsoft, which I use, and it's like you need to call this number. Your computer's totally locked. I'm like, this can't be right. There's no way, but I'd never heard of this one before. Now, luckily, it said your computer's all locked, and I closed everything, realizing my computer is not locked. And then Googled it and looked it up, like, oh, yeah, total scam. Total scam. There are tons of scams out there that claim to be something they're not. Unfortunately, this exists. People get built out of money, out of tax returns, out of any sort of money, because they'll claim, oh, it's just this. Just give us this, or just click this, or give us your number for this. They claim to be something they're not, and they look really good, but it's not what they're about. Similar to what Jesus is teaching us here with these false teachers. They will look like us, or they may look like good, solid Christians. They may act all the right way, but they're not quite right. So today, I think we have to accept that they still exist today in a variety of forms, and it's unfortunate. It honestly makes me upset. Have false teachers and leaders exist, but it is true. And they come in so many forms, I think, today. They can come in person. They can come online through live streams and podcasts and books. These are all out there. And I think what Jesus is saying is just protect yourself. Be cautious about the people you listen to and follow. I don't think you have to be completely skeptical and think you can't listen to anybody else. I listen to other people. I read from other Christian leaders and listen to them and read books. I love to do that, and you should too. Jesus is just saying, be cautious. He wants you to protect yourself, to take stock of who you're listening to and who you're following. And he does this because he wants us to follow the people that are truly from him. Because of how much he loves and cares about us, he wants us to follow the leaders that follow him. So that's the first part. He gives the warning. Right, let's look at the next part, verses 16 through 18. He's actually going to help us kind of figure out who they might be to some degree. So let's look at Matthew 5, 16 to 18. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree, bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. All right. So Jesus is basically telling us there is a way to identify false teachers, false leaders. And in a sense, it's a type of test, almost, you know, because there's a result we're looking for. And Jesus uses fruit. What comes out of them? What do they produce? And he uses the tree and fruit example. A good tree can only produce good fruit. A good, healthy tree, if you've seen an apple tree or anything like that, if it is a good, healthy tree, produces good, solid apples, right? A bad tree produces bad fruit. If it's not healthy on the inside, if it's rotting, will produce bad fruit. Same thing that Jesus is getting at with leaders. A good leader will produce good fruit. And the fruit Jesus is getting at is how they live in their personal life. He's getting at, do they follow God's will in all aspects of their life, around everybody at all times? Is that the kind of fruit they have? Are they following God and giving off that good fruit? by contrast, the bad fruit would be maybe they're up there in front of you or talking and sounding really good, but in their own lives, they just have no regard for what God has for them. They're not following God. He's saying that can't be a teacher from God. They can't be a leader from God if they're not following God. So it's their personal behavior. They're following God in all aspects of their lives because they can say something they don't mean or write something they don't mean. They can even behave in a way that they don't really believe. They could put on a show while they're around people that follow them. But who they are when those people aren't around, when they're by themselves or in a smaller group, the life they live, especially up close, shows who someone is. And sometimes it takes that knowing up close. He talks about, again, these fruits and thorns and stuff that's used a lot in the Bible. In Jesus' day, berries on a thorn might, from a distance, might look like good grapes, but then when you get up close, you realize it's a thorn bush. Or flowers on a thistle might look like good flowers that are going to produce figs from far away, and then up close, you're realizing they're not good. So it's up close, it's realized they aren't good fruits. They aren't true and authentic. I have two soccer jerseys behind me. We have discussed before, Jeff is a massive soccer fan. I have a ton of soccer jerseys, laid them all out there for you 1 week. My wife is nodding her head saying, yeah, you have way too many. She's got a whole closet for her shoes, so I'm just going to say it's fine right now. I have yet to make a closet for my soccer jerseys. I have these up here. I'll back up a second. These are both from my favorite team, Manchester United. Terrible year this year, so I don't want to talk about it. But one of these is an authentic jersey, which means it was made in the same way the ones the pros use. Authentic, perfectly made. The other is a knockoff. It's a cheap one that my brother got me in China. When he lived in China. Much cheaper, but a knockoff. From where you're sitting, can you tell me which one is authentic, which is the knockoff? Which one's the knockoff?
The one with the Chevy.
The one with the Chevy? You think this one? Uh-huh. Okay. Now, they have different logos because they're from different years. Okay, so they did change their sponsors. So we have some think it's this one, some think it's this one. Eugene, do me a favor and come up here. From right up close, can you tell which one's real, which one's fake? You can get as close as you want.
Touch them
if you want. That's nice, right? That's nice. So it's that one, isn't it? Isn't it? Take a look. You think this is the real one? Eugene's going with this one. That's the real one. The tag on the bottom down here. Okay. What's that say?
Ooh.
This is the authentic right here. This is the knockoff.
Wait, what? Chevy sponsored?
They did for a long time. They don't anymore. But yeah, Chevy was a huge sponsor, actually. Yeah, they have sponsors from all over the world. This one was purchased. Yeah, this was actually 6-7 years ago. My buddy was in London and bought it in England. This is the knockoff. This was actually this year's jersey they wore. Yeah, so this is the knockoff. This is the real one. It is so hard to tell. Which makes it a good knockoff. Okay? It is hard to tell until you get up close. And Ryan was right. We did get right up here and read this tag that said authentic. Eugene was up close and had a hard time seeing it.
I like the lighter one.
What was that?
I said that, you know, like I know that lighter one is probably the knockoff, right? Mm-hmm. But like some of us like the feel of the
lighter. Yeah, I don't, yeah. That's true. Could be. The lighter look to it. It's so hard sometimes to tell authentic from fake. Real from a knockoff. It's difficult. Honestly, if I didn't know, I'd have a hard time seeing. I've seen replica and jerseys have been made like this for years. It's hard to tell. Leaders have to live what they teach. They just do. Leadership is a calling from God. They can't lead for God if they don't live for God, if they're not authentic in all of their lives. One example of this, Jeremiah 23:13-14, he says this, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. And among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that not one of them turns from their wickedness. They're like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah. He is just saying that. They're supposed to be from God, but they don't live it in all aspects of their lives. Jeremiah is angry about it when he writes that. I get upset about it, and we should, because they can't lead for God if they don't live for God. I can't lead for God if I don't live for God. Applies to all of us. Can be leaders can be as gifted as they want to be. They can be as admired as they want to be. They can be as good-looking, as charismatic, as engaging as possible. But they can't lead from God if they don't follow God in all their lives. Now, the one thing I do want to make clear, this doesn't mean leaders can't have faults and can't have struggles. Leaders are totally human. I am human. Thank goodness I'm allowed to lead for God and still struggle with things. I still have faults and struggles, but the point is, I know that and I work on it. And I ask for forgiveness from God and I repent of the things I struggle with. And I can still keep producing fruit and soak in other leaders when we do this. John the Baptist says in Matthew 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So when leaders struggle and they honestly, truly repent, they still can be good leaders from God. We're allowed to struggle. Leaders need to work on themselves just like all of us do, right? And there's times where maybe they have to step away from a leadership role or aren't in the right place to be leading. And that happens. But the point is, leaders have to follow God. And when they struggle, honestly repent and get back on track. Now, it can be hard to see these types of fruits from a distance when we're following people online or we're reading books. So, again, it's just be cautious. And I don't want to say you can't trust anybody. But again, Jesus wants you to be cautious. As I was reading about this passage, they're saying, you know, if you are closer or you know some things about these leaders, look at them and say, you know, do they love their families as Christ loves the church? Are they living it out at home? Do they love their neighbors? Do they care for the people that they lead? Are they living those greatest commandments of loving God and loving others? Are they following that? All right, he gives us some things to look for, thankfully. But he wouldn't give this caution if it wasn't warranted. So again, he's saying these are some things to look for and continue to follow these leaders that follow me. He ends in verses 19 and 20. With saying, in essence, people that are false leaders, false prophets, false whatever we want to say, don't get a pass. So let's read 19 and 20. It says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus isn't okay with false teachers. He is not okay with people that claim to speak in his name or with his calling, but don't actually have that on their lives. They don't get a pass. They are judged by God, just like we all are. We all come before God for judgment, and those false leaders will be the same way. And Jesus is clear that he has a punishment. Matthew 3:10. Jesus basically echoes Matthew 3:10, which says, the axe is already at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. It is a harsh and sound judgment from Jesus. So he is saying, look, if you get burned by a false leader, Jesus will judge them. The axe is ready. God knows and will issue judgment for this. So I was thinking about this one too, like what happens to people that claim to be something but they aren't. I started thinking about kind of spies and double agents. Now that seems weird, but I watch a lot of spy shows, a lot of crime shows, so that's probably why I went there. But I started thinking about double agents because it's kind of the thing here, right? Claim to be something and for somebody, but you're actually kind of the other way. So I looked up some famous double agents, and one of the more famous ones that I found is a guy named Aldrich Ames, who actually is from Wisconsin, from River Falls, Wisconsin. Now, he worked years ago for the CIA, so Central Intelligence, and he gathered, he was focused kind of on the old Soviet Union and Soviet intelligence. Well, eventually, as he's working for the United States, he starts feeding information to the Soviets. So he starts being a double agent, and eventually some of what he gave away led to the execution of American assets in the Soviet Union. Eventually, he was found out, admitted to everything he did, and now he is in prison for life. Serving life in prison, he did not get a pass for what he did. He pretended to be something he really wasn't. Pretended to be working for his country, but was actually opposed Jesus says the same thing. These people that pretend to do this, false teachers, do not get a pass from God, even if it may feel like people on earth give them a pass. Maybe it feels like, oh, it's no big deal. Jesus is saying, they don't with me. One other thing here to be clear on in this passage, this last part, is that Jesus doesn't say that we are to be the axe that cuts down the tree. He does that. We're not the axe, the chainsaw, the saw, whatever you want to say it is. He does that. We talked about judging others a few weeks ago and how that is God's job. And when we judge others, we, in essence, kind of take on the persona of God a little bit. Jesus is clear. False teachers will be judged. He's going to do that. Right? It's okay to be upset about finding out about somebody that just doesn't have the right heart that's teaching or leading or something like that. But let God render the judgment there. We have apple trees in our backyard that kind of produce apples sometimes. Jeremiah gets upset when they don't have apples. He's very excited about the apples coming on the tree. He looks for the flowers when the apples come, and then they fall to the ground. He goes and picks them. No, he gets upset if they don't produce apples. That's totally fine. If that tree dies, though, I'm not letting my six-year-old be the one to cut it down, as much as he would want to help. It's not his job. It's somebody else's. Same thing with these false teachers that Jesus talks about. He's the one that will render the judgment, and he will do it pretty harsh, as it should be. So he's saying, be cautious. Here's what to look for, and here's what I'm going to do about it. And I think he gives this whole passage for this main reason as we wrap up today. You deserve to be led well, just like all of us. We deserve to be led well. God will lead us well, first off. God as our leader will lead us well. And as Hebrews showed us earlier, there are leaders that are from God here on earth, and those are the ones that we want to trust and be led well by. But Jesus brings in this caution because, unfortunately, not every leader claiming to be from God is. As I was studying this passage, Scott McKnight, who's one of the commentators I read, said this about this passage. Leaders are followers of Jesus before they are leaders. If they forget that, they will hear these words of Jesus as a searching judgment. Leaders are followers of Jesus first. I followed Jesus before I became a leader. I have to remember that and continue to live that way as a leader. And so do all leaders we follow. We follow God first. Leaders have to faithfully follow God first and have God be their leaders, because leaders also need to be led well. So those are the leaders we want to look for. Those are the leaders we want to follow. Follow the leader that faithfully follows God first. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this caution. As difficult, God, honestly, personally, as it is for me to read that this exists as something we have to deal with, but I thank you that you give it to us. And God, I thank you that you are the great leader for us to follow. And God, I thank you for the leaders that are out there that you did put out there for us to follow, that have you at their heart. So God, I pray that we would find those would be the leaders we would follow. God, and I pray that in all of our lives we would look to you first, and that we would all be led first by you. And that we would look at the fruits in our lives and be conscious of those, that those would be good fruits, that we would follow you in all aspects of our lives. God, and that the leaders we follow would be the same. We thank you again. In your name. Amen.